Just up 35-0. We'll have running clock as Duran gets the ball back in just a moment from Eau Claire Hometown Media and 93.5 The Tap.
Sports talk radio is flooded with opinions.
Blah, blah, blah.
So why not cleanse the palate a little with something different? Check out the Let the Kids Play podcast series, heard only at echometownradio.com. That's echometownradio.com. Get the opinion on the latest sports news from the perspective of a 13-year-old. Join Derek Montesano every week for his opinion on what is happening in sports. Let the Kids Play. Heard only at echometownradio.com.
The Regis Ramblers leading Duran 35-0 with 2:13 left in the third quarter. You could have seen one of these teams winning this game by multi-scores if they played well. But considering both were undefeated, considering that Duran had maybe even some more weighty wins behind them coming in, you did not see this coming. Very impressive by the Regis Ramblers. This is a win that's going to have a lot of vitamins, a lot of nutrition to that playoff resume with that playoff matrix. As Jack Schroeder will kick it, send the ball to our left. Kowalski up to take it at his 10-yard line along the numbers to the sideline and steps out of bounds as he ran out of room near his 25. As we go to running clock, and the clock will continue to run under two to play in the third quarter. And now for Regis, and something that I don't think they'll necessarily keep starters out there for to maintain, especially as you get deeper into the fourth quarter, but they have a shot to keep that shutout streak going. Three consecutive shutouts, a chance for four consecutive shutouts, and again, they've only allowed, the only points they allow were two mop-up time touchdowns to Turtle Lake in week one. That's it. Brett Breeding, he's had a tough night for Duran. He's in the shotgun. Sabelko with him. Hand off Sabelko. Sabelko through the line, past the 30-yard line, and rolled over after a gain of eight. It'll be second down and two. They give him an extra yard. He might have the first down. Yeah, they're going to give him 10 yards on the play and give him the first down. Or maybe not quite yet. They're going to say he's right on the line. Well, second down and a baby's pinky to go. Final minute of the third quarter. Sabelko through the left side of the line. He's got a lot of room past the 40. Spin move at the 50-yard line. It is bulldozed just as he gets into Regis territory. And a couple of big gainers there for Sabelko. First and 10 for Duran at midfield. You know, they'd like at very minimum to break the Duran shutout streak, break the Regis shutout streak. Duran is about to lose for the eighth consecutive time to Regis. What a mauling Regis has had in previous years, but you did not expect the mauling this year. Duran brought probably their best team here in years. Breeding the pass on first and 10th, the 50-yard line, keeps it himself to the 50-yard line, lowers the shoulder, takes the contact, and falls ahead at the 42-yard line, a gain of eight, and that is how the third quarter will come to a conclusion. All Regis in this one, 35-0. We'll have running clock to begin the fourth quarter, but Duran driving, trying to break the shutout when we begin the fourth quarter next from 93.5 and Eau Claire Hometown Media.
The best place to go for the best local content is echometownradio.com. There you'll find dozens of local podcasts covering everything from news to sports to dogs and even beer. echometownradio.com is the place to hear from people right here in the Chippewa Valley talk about what matters to you. New podcasts dropping daily. That's echometownradio.com. And look for them on Spotify.
The drama left in this one is whether Duran breaks the Regis shutout streak or not. It'll be second down and two for Duran At the Regis 42-yard line, Duran moving from right to left across your listening device as we begin the fourth quarter. Regis on top 35-0. They got to get the time on the board, and now they do. The final 12 minutes coming up here. Radar, by the way, looks clear after we had feared that there would be big storms coming this way. We did have a 30-minute delay in the first quarter for Lightning. First down carry up the gut for Duran as Ethan Mack on the carry gains 7 yards to the Regis 35. And Duran will have first and 10 at the Regis 35-yard line. At halftime, the Ramblers introduced the abbreviated halftime we had. They introduced some of the middle school youth Rambler players that are coming up through the system. Also, a group of young kids were running around shirtless behind the goalpost to our left as a carry is devoured in the backfield. Nothing happening there for Zabelko. He loses 2 yards. Those kids have since either left or gone somewhere else, but there was a group of maybe 7 or 8 elementary age kids running around with their shirt tops off in the empty bleachers behind the goal to our left. A lot of forlorn Duran supporters opposite of us. Meanwhile, the Regis supporters have kind of been calm all night long. Ever since that Cisco kickoff return to begin the game for the touchdown, they knew they've had it. Ethan Mack, big gain up the middle off the right guard position. It was second down and 14, and he got nearly all of it back, a gain of 13 to the Regis 26-yard line. It'll be third down and a yard for Duran. Regis has begun to put some different guys in there and get them some reps, and with how physical this Regis team plays, this experience invaluable. We've seen it play out in playoff games where Regis having these guys have significant lengthy time out there has helped them out in years past. Pitch to Mack coming wide to the left side, turns up field. He's near the first down. He needed a yard, tried to turn up field, shoved out of bounds by Matt Polasek, a junior. But they're going to say he got just enough for a first down. He needed a yard. He got a yard and an inch. And it'll be first and 10 for Duran at the 25-yard line. Clock ticks to under 10 to play in the game. First and 10 for Duran at the 25. Brett Breeding. Shotgun snap, fakes the give, under pressure, wrapped up and sacked past the 30-yard line. Once he tucked it under, he knew he was in trouble. He didn't get his first read open, and he was in trouble. In on the sack, Braxton Tarbox and others. It'll be second down. Marked back at the 32-yard line. Second down and 17, a loss of 7. Al Regis will no doubt see that unofficial 14 ranking in the playoff matrix improve after this week. 14 is well within making the playoffs, but you want to be in that top 10, if not top 8. That really assures you're going to have a lot of home games if you go the distance in the postseason. Draw play handoffs to Sabelko. He's going to get some of that yardage back, torpedoing his way to the 25-yard line. Gained 7 of that yardage back. And it'll be third and 10 for Duran. Duran, by the way, will lick their wounds. They'll take on Elk Mound at home next Friday night. Again, an offense averaging nearly 40 points a game, and Duran's been held off the board tonight. Breeding. Quick pass to the far side, into space, found Kowalski. Kowalski jitterbugs his way to the 20-yard line, tripped up, stumbles ahead, falls down at the 18-yard line. He'll be 3 yards shy of the first down, 4th and 3, and no doubt about it, Duran will go for it here. If Regis gets the stop here with a running clock, you could, in essence, run the clock out, even with 7.5 to go. So this might be Durant's last shot to break the shutout. Regis's defense could secure the shutout here. Breeding in the shotgun. He's got Cibulka to his left, two wideouts near side. Breeding, quick pass over the middle. Catch made by the tight end for the first down inside the 10-yard line. Down to the 6. Bulleted a pass to Weisenbeck over the middle, and Durant will have first and goal at the 6-yard line as the clock continues to run under 7 to play in the ball game. Now Durant will have first and goal at the 6 as they try to become the first team to score on Regis since Turtle Lake in week 1. Hand off, Cibulka popped in the backfield, may have gotten back to the line of scrimmage. In there to mesh up the DNA was Logan Hoff, the senior. They're going to say he lost a yard, second and... They're going to give him the line. Didn't lose anything. Second and goal from the 6. Meanwhile, that baby I've been watching all game in the stands right below us now has fallen asleep in Mama's arms. Past the baby's bedtime. Past my bedtime. Breeding, rolling near side, looking end zone, fires end zone. He's got a man, catch, touchdown. Landon Gloss, open in the end zone, made the catch right over the middle. Touchdown for Durand. They're on the board, cutting the Regis lead to 35-6 with 5:57 to go. Durand will stay out there to go for two. They always go for two. They do not have a kicker. So doing this all for statistical purposes only at this point. And the play and have fun. They are kids. Breeding in the shotgun. On the 2-point, takes the high snap, corrals it. Throws Kowalski near side. He's at the 5. Makes one man miss on a sidestep. Lunges for the goal line. He's going to be well shy. They tried to set up the wide receiver screen. Didn't develop. Regis' defense holds on the conversion attempt. But Durant gets on the board and breaks the shutout. Still with 5:57 remaining in the game. All Regis, they're leading impressively in this one. 35-6, Regis ball when we come back from Eau Claire Hometown Media and 93.5 The Tap.
Eau Claire Hometown Media is where the Chippewa Valley comes to talk. Follow Eau Claire Hometown Media on Spotify and have local podcasts come right to you every single day. Eau Claire Hometown Media features Banker with a Beer, Dose of Dog, Talk of the Town, and many other popular local podcasts. Follow Eau Claire Hometown Media on Spotify today.
Well, Regis about to get the ball back with 5:57 to play, and it'll be hard to run the clock out with that much time, but conceivably they can. 5:57 left in the game. All Regis, they open the game on a 78-yard touchdown run on the kickoff by Carter Sisko and never looked back in this one. Durant did put together a couple of drives in the second half, one that just recently resulted in a score, but overall Regis' defense just dominating. Sisko on a reverse on the return gets popped just beyond the 15-yard line. The kick went to Labor, the middleman of a three-man back. It wasn't a trick play or anything. They just wanted to get the ball into Cisco's hand, and Cisco not able to gain much. They'll mark him at his own 18-yard line, and we'll see what Regis does offensively here. You would think they're not going to be passing at all. We are no longer in running clock, though, because Durand brought the deficit within the 35. See who Regis brings out for the quarterback. Looks like DJ Cooper in there, right? So the backup Cooper is in there. Cooper, a sophomore. Confusion. I think somebody's maybe late to get out there for Regis. Yep, there was a player late to get out there. Now he's out there and ready to go. First and 10 for Regis. Carry by Brady Strom, a senior. Gains a yard or two, and Brian Brenner's bringing on the second stringers. These kids put in all the same amount of work as the players that get the bulk of the work and the more, if you will, meaningful time of the game. But these guys getting a chance to play as well. They've earned it. And that's one of the things about Reeves is when they get these big leads, they're able to get all these guys a chance to play. Second down and nine at their own 20-yard line. Again, bunched up formation as DJ Cooper under center. Pitch up the middle, pass 20 to the 25. Gain of five. And out of the scrum is Mason Sisko.
Mason Sisko, the ball carrier.
Mark him at the 26. And it'll be third down and two for Regis. With 3:45 left.
Third and two for the Ramblers at their own 26.
Most of the crowd has stuck around, by the way. Official blows the play dead for a moment. Looks like they have to send somebody off for equipment for Regis. And new guy will come on. Yeah, it turned out to be a lovely night. There was the threat of rain, and we had the 30-minute delay because the officials say they saw lightning, but never did have a storm come this way. Around the near side, first down yardage, past the 30-yard line for Brecken Forster, the freshman Forster. On the carry to the 33-yard line, and it'll be first and 10 for Regis at the 33-yard line.
First and 10 for the Ramblers at their own 33.
First and 10 at their own 33-yard line. Under three to play as Regis trying to milk the clock out. Put this one officially in the win column, and flags fly here. We're going to get a penalty on Regis on the snap. So a false start on Regis will back them up. Well, Regis will get the win tonight. Duran will pick up their first loss. Ding them a bit in the playoff matrix. It'll also make winning the Clover Belt Conference very difficult. Regis, meanwhile, will have an extra day to rest up before they go to Fall Creek next Friday. That'll be a humdinger. And then in 2 weeks, Mondovi, before they'll end the season against the Stanley Boyd team that's down this year at Neillsville Granton. First and 15. Carry up the middle. Ball went on the turf, but Regis quickly fell back on top of it. Just a couple of yard gain for Regis. In reality, only have to run, I think, two more plays before they'll get a chance to get the happy handshakes and get out of here. You know, it is a school night after all. With Memorial and North both playing on campus, though tomorrow's Memorial North game will be here at Carson Park, wouldn't be surprised to see Regis now get to play a lot more Friday night games. They've been usually relegated to Thursdays and Saturdays until the playoffs. Likely going to get more Friday night games next year. You would think it'll be up to Mike McCorney, the new athletic director. Is nothing happening here on second down and 12 for Regis. We'll hit the final minute of this one. Tucker Gelling on the carry for Regis. We'll see. There's elements of playing these Thursday night games and sometimes Saturday afternoons that Regis has liked because they've been on their own. They've had a little more of a standalone feel, but if you play on Friday night, you also get that Friday night football feel. Third down and 12 at their own 30-yard line. End around to Matt Palasa going wide to the left side. Turns up field along the hash marks. Gains a few yards to his own 37, and that's really how the game will end here. Final 20 seconds will tick away. Regis does not have to run a play. They begin to line up on their respective sidelines. What an impressive showing tonight for the Regis Ramblers. a game that you expected to have a little bit more of a pushback for either side tonight. Regis came out, scored on the opening kickoff, and never looked back. An absolute throttling tonight by the Regis Ramblers. It's official. Happy handshake time for the Regis Ramblers as they dismantle the Durant, Arkansas Panthers 35-6. We'll come back, recap this game, replay the highlights for you when we come back. This is Eau Claire Area High School Football from 93.5 The Temp and Eau Claire Hometown Media.
Watch out! You got me!
The galaxy is safe once again.
In the pretend universe, kids play with pretend guns. In the real world, it's up to us to make sure they don't get their hands on a real gun. If you have a gun in the house, keep it locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The game is in the books. Now it's time for the post-game show on 93.5 The Tap and Eau Claire Hometown Media. Let's go back to the field and to Scott Montesano.
And welcome back one final time to Carson Park. All Regis in this one against Durant, Arkansas. Regis wins going away 35-6. The only sour note to Regis, they gave up that fourth quarter touchdown, snapping their shutout streak. But alas, they will survive. A game that pitted two undefeated teams. A game that, frankly, on paper you thought, boy, Durant might be stronger looking at who they had beaten. But Regis, oh my goodness, just truck Durant tonight. There's no other way to look at it. Regis dominated on special teams, defensively, offensively. A throttling is the best way to put it tonight. And Regis, very impressive as they begin a very difficult part of their schedule, or what you think could be difficult. Regis, if they come out of the other end of this in a couple of weeks, still undefeated, oh boy, this may be setting up to be one of those magical years for the Regis Ramblers. So Regis wins this game going away, and it all got started right away on the opening kickoff. Durant won the toss. They deferred. Looking back, it's kind of a wrong decision. It's a common decision, one I actually tend to like. Set the tone with your defense. But in this case, it backfired as Regis right away got the early lead. The right-footed kick is away from A.J. Whitting. It's a short end-over-end kick. Labor up to grab it at his 22-yard line, up the middle, past the 25. Now bounce on the numbers, near side to the 50. He's got open space in front of him to the 40, to the 30. They might try to angle him out, Whittig. However, cutting back inside, he's got room. Wave him goodbye. Touchdown. Touchdown on the kickoff return for the Regis Ramblers. And it'll actually be Carter Sisko. Sisko goes 78 yards on the kickoff return, and Regis already up 6-0. Sisko came up the middle, bounced to the numbers near side at his own 35. A.J. Whittig, the kicker, tried to angle him out at around his 15. However, Sisko bounced back inside and walks in for the touchdown. Regis added the two-point conversion. They led 8-0. Later on in the first quarter, they would expand the lead on this run by Nick Helen. Hand off here, end around far side. Lots of room for Nick Helen. Hits the far sideline. He's gone. 20, 15. Wave him goodbye. Nick Helen, the senior, around the right side. The far side, he scoots all the way in. A 40-yard touchdown run, and Regis leads 14-0. Jack Schroeder added the extra point. It was 15-0 Regis. Shortly thereafter, we then went into a 30-minute lightning delay. Thankfully, no weather ever ended up getting here. We will resume action after the 30 minutes, and after the 30-minute delay, Regis just picked up right where they left off. Midway through the second quarter, Brody Tarbox scored his first of three touchdowns tonight. Game. Bramer. Carry up the middle. Brody Tarbox stretches his right hand out. He's scratching guys away, and he's going to get all the way in. Brody Tarbox able to muscle his way in straight up the gut from 11 yards out. Touchdown for Regis, and they lead 21-0. Brody Tarp, the extra point was good. It was 22-0. Regis would add another score on a one-yard run by Tarbox later in the first half and led 28-0 going into the halftime break. They would get another one-yard run by Brody Tarbox in the third quarter to lead by a score of 35-0 following the extra point. Duran would get on the board in the fourth quarter, a touchdown reception by Landon Gloss from a couple of yards out. That broke the Regis shutout, but Regis goes on the win, going away by the final score of 35-6. Duran with the loss is now 2-1 in the conference, 4-1 overall. Regis, an impressive 5-0 overall, 3-0 in the Clover Bell Conference. While Regis back in action next week, they'll be at Fall Creek and then home in a couple of weeks versus Mondovi. Our next coverage on 93.5 will be next Friday night, Memorial at Menominee. Memorial at Menominee next Friday night here on 93.5. Well, big thanks to the fine folks at Civic Media, as always, and to our friend Chuck at the Palatial Studios of 93.5, the Tap. He made sure the hamster stayed on the wheel this evening. We endured a weather delay and got out of here still at a reasonable hour. The Regis Ramblers blow out the Durant Arkansas Panthers, and a very impressive blowout. Let's be honest, not all blowouts are expected, and not all, you know, really open the eyes. This one very much opens the eyes. Regis throttles Duran by a final score of 35-6. On behalf of everyone who made this broadcast possible, I'm Scott Montesano saying there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow shining at the end of every day. Make sure to take advantage of it. And until next Friday night, so long, everybody.
You've been listening to Eau Claire Area High School Football on 93.5 The Tap and Eau Claire Hometown Media. For a complete schedule of upcoming games, visit echometownradio.com.
To be scared by these threats from the White House, you know, pretending that the that there's some sort of ideological and that it's from the left, this violence, right? Political violence is by and large, the vast majority, from the right. That is just a fact. So don't be quiet. Don't be afraid. Understand that solidarity is more important right now than ever. And remember what they're trying to take our eyes off of, these two huge stories. Why are they not releasing the Epstein list? Why are they doing everything they can to prevent the release of the Epstein list? There's only one Republican, one more Republican in the House votes for the discharge petition, and we get to learn what they are so terrified about becoming public. and the deeply unpopular cuts to our healthcare and Medicaid that will result in tens of thousands of people dying every year. And we should abhor those deaths just like we abhor the death of Charlie Kirk at the hands of what I believe to be a completely misguided, deranged assassin. One man who bears that responsibility is what it looks like to me right now.
There you go. Alex, I appreciate the time. As always, great stuff. Appreciate the time. Thank you.
Thanks, Rick.
Alex Lawson, executive director there of Social Security Works. Want to hear your thoughts. You agree with him? Should we be finding out where the money, follow the money? Where did it come from? And then maybe look at who the replacements are going to be, because it is really all about keeping us divided. Want to hear your thoughts. Rick at TheRickSmithShow.com. Right back.
The Tap. Eau Claire's real news and great conversation, and home to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight and tomorrow, mostly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms. A low tonight in the low 60s, high tomorrow in the low 70s. Storm chances continue for the weekend, although less rain around. High temperatures will remain in the 70s. Right now it's 73.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Joseph Pecky.
As much as I disagree with Charlie Kirk, no American should ever face physical violence for what they believe. And maybe that's how we get past it and move forward, is just say, this is not about, we can't get to a period of political violence. We're in one, and now we got to get out of it. And we have to recognize each other's humanity.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So look, I go back to what I talked about a minute ago. You got a Pennsylvania State Representative in Russ Ding Dong Diamond, who is, look, attention seeker extraordinaire. I give the guy credit. He knows how to get attention. That's how he's in the State House and how he stayed there so long. So this, being as opportunistic as he is, this is right up his alley, going for a Charlie Kirk Day. And the weird thing is we're going to see a lot of this across the country. We're seeing schools having moments of silence. We're seeing pressure on the NFL to do more stuff. It's a lot. It seems like a lot. And the weird thing is most people, until this happened, till this tragedy happened, didn't know who he was. In fact, and most people didn't agree with him. That's the other thing that gets me. Generation Lab just put out a poll that found that while he had really good name recognition on college campuses, about 70% of the student body disagreed with him. Only about 30% agreed. So there's going to be a lot of rewriting of history, and a lot of displays. We saw the president do the whole flag at half mast thing, which is why I've asked my next guest to come share some thoughts on his organization, the Pennsylvania Legislative Black Caucus. They put out a statement expressing, well, disgust at the fact that the president directed states and everyone bearing a flag to lower it to half mast. And here to share some thoughts on, well, the statement and what this all means, I've asked Napoleon Nelson to come share some thoughts. He's a representative in the Montgomery County, Pennsylvania area, chair of the Pennsylvania Legislative Black Caucus. Napoleon, thanks for taking time for us.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for having us. I hate that we're doing it on this topic, but a pleasure to join you nonetheless.
So, pretty harsh statement. The statement was, we must express our disgust regarding the decision by the president to direct American flags to be lowered. You went on to say the lowering of our flag, national flag, a sacred symbol of unity, mourning, and honored, should be reserved for those whose lives and legacies universally embody the values of justice, equity, and service to all people. Disgust seems like a harsh word.
Yeah, we actually think we pulled punches here. It might feel like a harsh word, but we had an awful lot of folks who were both incensed, enraged, and communities that have really been hurt by this. I will preface all of this by saying the Legislative Black Caucus is a, at this point, you know, many decades old caucus of legislators in Harrisburg, state reps and state senators who represent Black and Brown communities. And at this point, there are now 38 of us that we consider part of that caucus. And we had great conversation. We had really important and valuable feedback from folks, and hadn't said anything about lowering the flag. In fact, when Charlie Kirk was first assassinated, the first thoughts that we all had to wrestle with were ensuring our own safety and security, making sure that this wasn't a moment that continued to reverberate to us. But outside of that, once that moment, and it, I wouldn't say passed, but as we were wrestling with that, understanding all that Charlie Kirk and Turning Point and kind of his message has been to our communities, how insensitive he has been and unapologetically so, how you know, just kind of brash he has been with his statements around just, you know, who doesn't belong in this nation, his belief of you know, just the disparate impact that perhaps he would argue is due to Black and Brown communities and how.
Because here's the thing, Napoleon, the reality is a lot of the messaging that I saw coming from him was directed at Black men, that they're coming after you. They're hunting people. It was a fairly violent message. So I'm not surprised that your first thought was, am I in danger because of this, because of retribution? Because we heard a lot of that rhetoric right after that. This is civil war. I know a lot in the trans community we're ducking for cover because of Absolutely. The fear that, you know, these folks who have been extremely violent over the years might be gunning for you. So I guess I'm not surprised by that.
No, and I'm not surprised that. Unfortunately, I mean, that was the biggest challenge that we had to call out, was we're not surprised that the president chose to lower the flag for this man and to honor his platform, because this has kind of been in keeping with what, you know, this horrific, you know, orange man, you know, Trump 2.0 has wanted to do. This is in keeping with where they are. I mean, it was just a couple days earlier that he formally declared the Department of Defense is now the Department of War, and know that we know where he's sending his Department of War, you know, troops. He's sending troops into our communities, right? So this is for so many in minority spaces, for so many in Pennsylvania, for so many that I and the Legislative Black Caucus members represent, has been just another step in escalation of really what has been violence to that, to our communities. And the lowering of the flag to me says that this is a moment that administration will take, will honor, and will probably use to motivate them going forward. And we've seen it. Yeah. We saw it. We heard it from the president immediately following the shooting. We heard it from many in that administration, many in Washington said that this is it. This is war. We need to stomp these folks out. And then the very next thing we saw were threats and bomb threats shutting down many of our historically Black colleges and universities across this country. Pennsylvania's got two of them right here. The first, realistically, first two HBCUs and first opened and first degree granting institutions are right here in Pennsylvania. And this is what is coming on the other side of the shooting of Charlie Kirk.
Yeah. No, but here's the thing.
The lower flags was offensive.
But this is who they are. And, you know, as I said, you know, at the beginning, you've got Russ Diamond, who, you know, is a attention seeker. And look, all politicians to a degree are. I just think he's in a class on his own. But saw this as an opportunity to be in the club. And I think we're going to see a lot more of this, because I think conservatives, Republicans, I think they do a great job of marketing and slapping their names all over things. I don't think Democrats do such a great job of that. But this is another, for me, one of those opportunities for them to go, look, there's a crisis, and you never let a good crisis go to waste.
Correct. And you know what, though? I'm going to be the same way. I'm going to not let this crisis go to waste. Because what this crisis is, the rest of our statement really called on us all to make sure we act. We need to not just call for the calming down of political violence. Political violence needs to stop. But we also need to understand that political violence, as I mentioned in the statement, doesn't just come from kind of the setting off of gunpowder. Political violence is what Black and brown communities have been going through from day three of this administration, realistically day one. Listen, you're a wonderful, long-storied labor leader. You know, just recently, the Supreme Court finally put the nail in the coffin in this administration's assault on labor rights and on the National Labor Relations Board. He did the same thing to the EEOC. He has been attacking communities who have said for long times that we have been under assault. They have declared war. And they have declared war in part by lowering the flag and saying, you know, we're now coming full bore. And that's not okay.
Now, to your point, your statement is very clear. You're right. We must grieve the tragic loss of life and simultaneously remain clear about the values we uphold as a nation. We must continue to engage in political discourse in all corners of the Commonwealth while also standing firm in defense of those communities that are under siege. You write, right. Political violence can be carried out by oppressive institutional action just as much as the ignition of gunpowder. And I think you're spot on, which is why my instinct was to, okay, we're going to put this aside. We got to get back to the business of making lives better for working people. But I fear this is going to be that issue, that tool that they're going to run in the midterms on to blind us away from the reality that their governance, they control the House, the Senate, the White House, many state houses, many governor's mansions across this country, and lives are not getting better. Policies are getting worse. Institutions are being destroyed. Democracy's under assault. There's a lot of bad here, and I wanted to get back to that, but I think this is going to be the blinder that allows them to continue to operate under the cover of this tragedy.
Yeah, it absolutely is, and you left out the court system. The Supreme Court is under just kind of the thumb of this administration as well. Again, listen, I'm not happy about anyone losing their life due to gun violence or anything else. I think there are many who knew Charlie and his family personally. You know, they're young kids now without a father. I feel so bad for those families. And we know what that looks like in the Philadelphia region.
Look, Napoleon, I'm in a position where, you know, someone could take me out tomorrow if they wanted to. I could literally be Charlie Kirk. In fact, the emails that I'm getting from people, fairly ugly stuff in this moment, because I've had the audacity to go, yeah, I'm not going to put him up on that pedestal, because here's the other part that's frightening to me. And maybe you'll come along. There's going to be someone to replace him. There are people right now trying to vie to get into the billionaires' pockets that funded him. There are people right now, you know, working to use this to their advantage to be the next chaos merchant who's able to make a buck off of this. And that, to me, is the bigger problem. This, because we're never going to talk about the billionaire money that made all of this possible.
Yeah, no, it is Charlie Kirk. It's bigger than Charlie Kirk. And I think that's what you're getting at. You're right. It is bigger than the man, as much of you know, as a visionary as Russ Diamond would think and argue that he is. This is not just about one individual. This is not just about this moment. This is not just about this week. In fact, you know, horrifically, Charlie Kirk seemed to outweigh another school shooting, not just the school shooting at the University of the Utah Valley University, but there was another school shooting just that day. This is the day before 9/11, and it seemed to overshadow just kind of our remembrance of 9/11. We've got to make sure that we are putting all of this in context, right? Exactly. And I think that was the other piece that we heard so much was when we put this in context, we've had, there were Speaker of the House in Minnesota. She and her husband murdered, assassinated. This is a sitting elected official in the state house in Minnesota, and there was nothing. There was not a call to the governor. Yet someone who was not elected, who was a 31-year-old, who was working to organize folks with a rhetoric that was so divisive and a rhetoric that was so harmful to so many and so offensive to so many.
And meant to be. And
that's look, who we're going to lower the flag for?
Yeah, no, a chaos
it just
merchant.
Felt like
a chaos merchant. I mean, the reality is he made his name, he made his money, he made his fortune off causing chaos, not about making lives better. And in fact, many of the messages in the water, as we just talked about in the last segment, were about destroying institutions that help especially vulnerable communities. I look at the Medicaid cuts that just happened in this big nightmare bill that Trump signed recently. He was advocating for doing away with Medicaid and a lot of those things that help people. So, you know, I know there's going to be a rewriting of history. I know that we're going to have to put him up on a pedestal, but let's at least be honest what he stood for.
Yeah, I'm not even sure that rewriting of history is going to go as smoothly as some would think. There are plenty of us around who are going to continue to understand, tell the history of this moment. And it's not just a moment. Again, it's not just a Charlie Kirk story.
Right.
That was so important for us as a caucus to make sure that we highlighted for everyone that this is not just about Charlie Kirk. This is about kind of the administration and the moment and the movement that he and so many others have gotten going here in the Commonwealth and across this nation that is just harmful, dangerous, literally violent to so many who are just trying to help folks be able to send their kids to school and make sure that school is safe, trying to make sure that folks can get sick and then get well again. We're doing everything we can to make sure that we're being considerate of the least of these, right? It's odd that, we can't bring up those kind of biblical notions. That is the underpinning of the work that the folks, for example, in the Legislative Black Caucus are doing. But yet our version of good Christian work or good faith-based work or good work on behalf of those who need us most seems to be overshadowed by someone who doesn't even think that we should be here, who thinks that we're a whole bunch of just DEI elected officials doing, our little black jobs and then we're going to lower the flag and honor him.
Yeah, but he didn't mean that, Napoleon.
American hero.
He didn't mean that. He didn't really. I'm told. Didn't mean it. I'm told. Didn't mean it.
So, good. Oh, good. Well, then I take back that statement.
Well, there it is.
I do not.
So let me ask you the last line of questioning I've got, because, the reality is I wish our billionaires and I wish the Charlie Kirks of the world and the Fuentes and all the rest of them who are vying for attention, I wish they would put their energies, because they're talented, very talented people. I wish they would take their talents and their energies and put it in a direction to make lives better and to make conditions better and make this country truly, truly great. But I'm not seeing that. What I see, again, is it's mouthpieces for billionaires. So as a legislator, when you see something like Diamond coming forth with his legislation, is there an instinct to go, maybe we should have a day of remembrance for every child that's been killed going to school, or for every veteran that's died homeless on the street? Or if we're really going to care about life, and I do, shouldn't we be talking about all of the lives that are lost and maybe talking about how, instead of just symbolic gestures, we actually do something to make lives better, to save lives? Maybe shouldn't we do something like that?
Yeah. And maybe this is what we're not as good at. Maybe we should be putting out those resolutions like Russ Diamond. Instead, what we're trying to do is raise the minimum wage, and what we're trying to do is ensure that we have adequately funded schools, constitutionally adequately funded schools, and making sure that people can get to work, trying to keep our hospitals open even after federal cuts, trying to make sure that folks who are hungry have food even after federal cuts. I mean, it's hard to do when apparently what we are supposed to be doing with our messaging is honoring those who are perhaps the most divisive among us. But what we're still dedicated to, perhaps as us, you know, silly liberals, is just trying to help everyone in Pennsylvania make sure that they have what they need to pursue life, liberty, and justice in this nation.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Napoleon, I appreciate you taking time for us. Thank you for the stand your caucus has made, and I look forward to having you back again real soon.
Absolutely. Appreciate you.
Thanks so much. Napoleon Nelson, Pennsylvania State Representative. Want to hear your thoughts. Do you agree? Maybe this is going a bit too far? The opportunists are seeing their chance to get their name in the paper, like Russ Diamond. Want to hear your thoughts. Rick at TheRickSmithShow.com. Right back. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1895. That was the day that Booker T. Washington delivered what came to be known as the Atlanta Compromise Speech, which outlined his vision for race relations and black labor in the South. Washington was the founder of the Tuskegee Normal and Industrial Institute, a college designed to train black students for careers in teaching, farming, and other trades. Washington was invited to give an address to the Cotton States and International Exposition in Atlanta. It was the first time that a black man was asked to speak before a black and white Southern audience. In his speech, he urged Southern landowners and business leaders to employ black labor over European immigrants. He said, quote, "To those of the white race who look to the incoming of those of foreign birth and strange tongue and habits for the prosperity of the South, were I permitted, I would repeat what I say to my own race. Cast down your bucket where you are." He continued, "Cast it down among those people who have, without strikes and labor wars, tilled your fields, cleared your forests, built your railroads and cities, and brought forth treasures from the bowels of the earth and helped make possible this magnificent representation of the progress of the South." His speech outlined a plan for gradual black economic advancement. He declared, quote, "Agitation of questions of social equality is the extremist folly." Other black leaders, most notably W.E. Du Bois, rejected Booker T. Washington's idea of gradual advancement. Instead, Du Bois fought racial discrimination through the legal system and helped to found the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, the NAACP.
Labor History in 2 brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So I got to tell you, I'm a little sickened by the fact that you've got a Pennsylvania state legislator who's saying, we're gonna have Charlie Kirk Day, but yesterday here in the state that I live in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, five police officers were shot, three of them fatally killed in York County, Pennsylvania, not too far south of where that legislator's district is. These officers were doing their job, serving a warrant. From what we know at this point, a domestic kind of situation, which are always the most deadly. Police have not released their names or the person responsible. That person's dead. Horrible, tragic, all around. But I don't see anybody rushing to take those officers and put them on a pedestal. I don't see anything to make a day for them or any of the other people who are killed in this country because we refuse to do anything about guns. And it's been my whole lifetime. This isn't new. You know, I was just talking with my son the other day, and we were talking about the Boomtown Rat song, "I Hate Mondays." It's about a girl who shot up an elementary school in California. And when asked, "Why'd you do it?" "I don't like Mondays." Not new, just more frequent. And it's the easy accessibility of guns and the kind of guns available. But again, understand, and I've said this before, the left is never going to take anyone's guns away. They're not that organized. They're not that aggressive. They're not that on the same page. Maybe there's one or two that want to, but for the most part, probably not going to happen. Where the gun grabbers are going to come from, going to come from our fascist leaders. Because understand, the Trumps of the world, they're not comfortable with everyone having a gun. Because look, right now, this distraction from the Epstein files, because they were going to release everything. We were going to know. And you got the FBI director going, nothing to see. There's nothing here. Nothing. It was just the dead guy. Well, his base not believing it. The Rogan crowd not believing it. The Kirk crowd not believing it. Do you think, this is where my mind goes, do you think that Trump is going to be all that happy with people having guns? The answer is no. And again, the free speech people, the people who tell us how much they're the champions, the advocates, the guardians of free speech, they're the ones who are right now full tilt boogie censoring what should be a free speech moment. You may not like what people say about Charlie Kirk. You may not like what uncomfortable comments come out, but in a free society with free speech rights, you've got that right. As long as you're not defaming him. Now, this was someone who put himself in the political spotlight. Political issues are debatable, you fight over them. You argue over them. Are we really going to censor political speech? And even my red hat friends, are you comfortable with that? Because I know you've deluded yourself into believing that Obama did all of these things. It wasn't true. But you are going to see what an activist government is going to do. When corporations start bending the knee, and I had this interesting conversation with a friend who said, well, why don't these corporations just band together and fight back? Well, because the reality is government doesn't run out of time or money. The only institution that can restrain corporate greed, corporate power, is government. Of, for, and by, we the people, all kind of on the same page. Because you talk to people, red hat, blue hat, green hat, no hat, they're all somewhere in the same world of wanting to pull back on corporate power. And some may see Trump going after ABC as an assault on corporate power. No. This is just getting them in line. Know your place, ABC. Don't say bad things. Don't report anything we do. I have to tell you, and this is just one of those weird moments. As a show that's on a number of media outlets, how many of them start pulling back simply out of fear? The chilling effect that this will send across media is going to be enormous. But it's only going to be one-sided. This isn't bringing back the fairness doctrine. This isn't that. This is punishing one side. And then holding the favored side in check so they don't ever grow a conscience or a brain. This is where we're going. The propaganda stations, they're going to be fine. The propaganda networks, they're going to be golden. They're going to make more money than they could have ever imagined as long as they stay on script. As long as they stay in the good graces of Dear Leader. And the weird thing is, and I think it was Cory Booker when he was talking to Patel, said, look, your guy doesn't have the greatest track record for loyalty. Your guy throws people under the bus. Question is, who's next? So I want to hear your thoughts. Are you concerned? Are you seeing this attack on ABC, on the New York Times, on reporters? Are you seeing this as the authoritarian move that it is? Or is this, it's just Trump being Trump. He cares about us. I want to hear your thoughts. Rick@TheRickSmithShow.com. Miss any portion of the program, grab the podcast. Wherever you get your favorite podcast, you'll find ours. And as always, thanks so much for being here. We'll see you back here next time.
been listening to The Rick Smith Show. Email Rick. Email Rick at rick@thericksmithshow.com. Until next time, this has been The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Lawmakers and celebrities are sounding off after ABC pulls the Jimmy Kimmel live show off the air over Kimmel's Monday night comments about the assassination of Charlie Kirk. FCC Chairman Brendan Carr tells Fox News Channel,
"Look, we're going to continue to hold these broadcasters accountable to the public interest. And if broadcasters don't like that, simple solution, they can turn their license into the FCC. There's other things that we can do with it."
CBS News legal contributor Rebecca Royfe on whether Kimmel's comments could be protected by the First Amendment.
There has to be a clear misstatement made with malice in order for there to be any kind of action on the FCC based on an untruth given through the airwaves, because there is such subjectivity about what counts as what is true or untrue in these circumstances.
Former late-night talk show host David Letterman at the Atlantic Film Festival.
You can't go around firing somebody because you're fearful.